Well, we welcome you once again to this portion of Grace Baptist Church and our Sunday school. I hope that you've noticed that I always pause between the word Sunday and school to give emphasis upon the fact that this is a Bible study. And God is schooling us. He's teaching us. We've been dealing with authority, and indeed that was our first message several weeks ago in this area, authority. Then we moved to the authority of God's elect. Today we want to continue and look at the authority of the saints of God. And pray that as the message flows, you'll understand more fully what we're concerned with in this title. We may need a couple of lessons to cover this portion, and maybe even three. Today, again, the authority of the saints of God. We need to first establish who we are talking about when we refer to the saints of God. And I don't want us to fall into the error of Catholicism, which designates only a few so-called Christians to be recognized as saints. Every Christian is a saint. Every person from the Old Testament, trusting in the one true God for salvation, is a saint. Simeon, who bridged the gap between the Old and New Testaments, perfectly illustrates the Old Testament mindset when it comes to salvation of the saints. Let's take a look in Luke's gospel and see this account of Simeon. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Now, what was he waiting for? He was waiting for the salvation of God and the Messiah. That's what the Lord's Christ is referring to. "So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took Christ up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word.'" You see, he had been looking forward to this from the Old Testament scriptures. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared, made ready beforehand, before the face of all peoples, a light unto revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." Now again, that light unto the Gentiles is stated repeatedly in the book of Isaiah. And I would suggest that Simeon was well aware of that. Saints are people set apart by God, for God, unto salvation, and to be made holy unto the Lord. That's basically what we're talking about when we talk about a saint. They're not a small, special group among God's elect, but they are, in fact, all of God's elect among human beings. I hope you heard that. Another proof positive as to the saints being all the true people of God is the number of these people in biblical language. Deuteronomy 33:2 is a clear example of the Old Testament and the all-inclusiveness of the term saints in reference to God's people. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. He, the Lord, came with 10,000s of saints. Now, when you see that number in the Old Testament, 10,000s, those numbers are not to be taken as literal according to our present day understanding. But they are figurative and mean an innumerable amount of people. Jeremiah, I believe this is probably the best example. Jeremiah said it best in Jeremiah 33:22 in reference to God's saints. Thus says the Lord, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I, God, multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. Now surely, we know that the literal King David's descendants and the priests of the Levites among the Jewish nation do not match up with the numbers described in that verse. But Christ's elect, of whom David's descendants are a type, and all those who are elect, described in 2 Peter 2:9 as a royal priesthood, those two groups do match up and are the precise group that cannot be numbered. As Jude states in the New Testament, I'm going to read you one portion of this verse literally. Behold, the Lord comes with myriads of his saints. That's what it literally says. And now it's translated 10,000s of his saints. The Greek word there, and I'm saying myriads, comes from a word meaning innumerably many. The saints of God, when viewed compared to all human souls who have ever existed, are a small number. But when viewed as a group of specially privileged people with an eternal impact, it is an innumerable company. Now, this is all due in accordance with the sovereign grace of God. Thanks be to God. The saints surely praise the Lord. God is worthy, and as it is said in Psalm 148:14, the praise of all his saints. Now we're going to maintain our key scripture from last week into this week. And I'm going to go there now. I'm going to spend more time in explaining to you why I translated it the way that I did. Now again, the translation for John 1, verses 12 and 13 is literal with an emphasis given to showing you a full meaning of several of the key words. And I'm reading from that literal translation, John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, as many as received Christ. Folks, these are the ones from humanity set apart by God, for God. These are the saints, as many as received him. To them, listen, to them, the saints, he delivered privilege to exist by creation as children of God. Now I'm going to explain this to you. And if you'll be listening to me and the Spirit of God deals with your heart and mind, you're going to see why I translate these verses the way I have. The King James Version has, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Why would I use the word delivered rather than gave? The context of John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 is one of being birthed spiritually by God. I don't think anybody would deny that. This is, now listen, birthed by God spiritually. Folks, this is how we exist. This is how we have our being as children of God. Being born of God. Galatians 4:6 is critical to understanding the saints' relationship to God. In speaking of receiving the adoption of sons, the adoption of children, Paul, as led by the Holy Spirit of God, says this, and because you are sons, are children. Now, meaning the children of God in the eternal purpose of God. Because you are children, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You get that? Because of God's purpose in eternity, you've always been one of the children of God in God's purpose in eternity. And in time, He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Relationship. The child to his father. Sending forth the Spirit of Christ into our hearts, friends, is a special delivery. It's a special delivery of a special privilege that causes us to become children of God. Now, folks, that makes a lot of sense. The word become in the King James Version is number 1096 in Strong's Concordance. Look it up. You will note that the root meaning is to cause to be. Those are the first words. To cause to be, to generate. And where do we move from that? To regenerate. This is at the heart of the new birth. We exist as children of God. We exist by God creating us again, spiritually, as children of God. Now, from what I just said, therefore, let me read the translation, which I pray is of benefit to you. It's the only reason I do it. It's of benefit for your deeper understanding as to the most special privilege it is to be a saint. But as many as received him, to them. He delivered privilege to exist by creation as children of God. I know that that helps me to see this more fully. Now, as many as received him, to those believing into his name, who not of bloods, nor of will of flesh, nor of will of man, but of will of God, were born. I want to also note something I taught you last week, so as to understand why I use the word privilege, where in your King James Version it's power, and in other versions it's authority. Privilege, again, is a key word in accordance with authority, especially in reference to God's elect people. And who are God's elect people? The saints. Authority, in this case, is privilege, giving special advantage to God's elect. And we're going to look at that more closely today. And the reverse is also true. Privilege, in this case, is authority, giving special advantage to God's elect. Indeed, that statement may be more fitting than the former that I made. Certainly, the undeserved favor of God to his elect, to his saints, grace friends, is illustrated in these verses we've just read and should cause us to ponder, to think about the psalmist's words in Psalm 124. And I know in looking at that and towards John 1:12 and 13, I can say heartfeltedly and most thankfully, if it had not been the Lord who was for us. Now I know in our King James versions and in most versions, it says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Looking that up literally, it is for us. For us. If it had not been the Lord who was for us. And folks, if you know anything about grace, the true grace of God, you know that God, as lost as you were, was for you. This is wonderfully illustrated in what Christ said to the 70 that he set out in Luke chapter 10. Let me read that account for you. This is going to open up another thing that we will look at as well. On Luke chapter 10, in addition to the 12 apostles, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face, before he went in, into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but rather rejoice because your names are written, and literally it says, in the heavens. When the Apostle John saw in his mind's eye these verses that we've looked at and was led by the Spirit of God to pen them, and by the Spirit of Christ he penned, "But as many as received him by faith, to them he delivered privilege to exist, to live by creation as the children of God. To those believing into his name, who not of bloods, nor of will of flesh, nor of will of man, but of will of God were born." Saints, listen up. You received Christ by believing into his name. You believed into Christ because you were birthed spiritually by God. And you were born of God because your names are written in the heavens. This is the Lord for you. And before we leave Luke chapter 10, let's deal with the issue. This is very, very important to today's study. Let's deal with the issue of the saints and their authority over demons as compared to the saints living after that particular era of the early church. And I found something, if you'll just hold on a minute, that is really, really eye-opening. So plain in the scripture, but I know I've missed it until last week. In Luke 10, in addition to the 12 apostles, Christ also appointed 70 others and gave them authority over the demons. Gave them all authority over the demons. I say all because that authority, as you'll note in that scripture, says all power of the enemy. But as the church was growing after Christ's ascension, we see this authority over all power of the enemy disappearing. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. Just listen. And even though we saw the Apostle Paul casting out evil spirits in Acts chapter 19, we also saw this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is going to be somewhat of a shocker to some of us, but listen, you're familiar with it. Paul says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." My goodness. Over all power of the enemy. I'm going to show you an example here where God allowed the power of the enemy to keep Paul down. A messenger of Satan to beat me. Now, I know the King James says buffet. Again, look that one up. It talks about a bald fist and being struck. Boom. A messenger of Satan to beat me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, basically what he said was no. "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength made perfect in weakness." And we're going to see Paul explaining what that was all about when we look at the book of Ephesians. Same man writing these scriptures that we'll look at in a moment. Friends, that scenario that we just saw with Paul is pretty much what we see in our day today. as Christians. Though we don't have the personal revelations, nor the authority and the power that the Apostle Paul had, we do possess the New Testament scriptures and are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And that very Holy Spirit reveals those scriptures to us. As Paul, demons proved to be a thorn in our flesh, as the devil seeks to devour you and me, as a prowling lion, by directing his demons to attack us to the extent that God allows. You know, I wish I could make this come true. I can't. But I wish I could pray that God wouldn't do that to you, expose you to demonic activity. But I'm afraid that that's part of it, folks, as Christians. There's no one that these evil spirits would rather put down than you and I, as Christians. So, folks, they're gonna be after you. So, just how do we see special privilege as God's children, given an advantage to exercise authority that unsaved people do not have in relation to demonic attack? I sure hope you heard that. What advantage do we have as saints when there is demonic activity that unsaved people do not have? We are commanded by God to resist the devil and promise that he will flee from us. So, as saints, we and we alone are authorized. We have the right to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The unsaved don't have that. This is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That power is embodied in the whole armor of God, which enables us to withstand the methodology of the devil. Now, I am going to read those verses that I think pretty much everyone is quite familiar with. They're in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I purpose to read just 13 through 18, but I'm going to go to 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Friends, only the saints are intended here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the methods, that's what the wiles are, of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see, we don't have all power over these demons. It's a battle. It's a warfare. And folks, you got to admit, sometimes you lose. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all The missiles is actually what that says there. The missiles as a spear, as an arrow of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Only the saints, only the children of God have God-given faith to defend against demonic attacks against our souls. In addition, we saints are able to use God's word as a sword to overcome the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, little g, the devil. If you are under, Christians, listen, please listen. If you are under demonic attack, repeat or bring to mind the following scripture from the Word of God while exercising your faith in Christ and that Word, and reap the spoils of victory over the enemy. I want to read again a more literal translation of 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. It goes right along with what we're talking about. Please listen. For everyone, how many does that leave out? For everyone, having been born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory, having overcome the world, our faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Who is the one overcoming the world? The word overcoming is a present participle. That means presently and continually we are overcoming the world. Folks, we're in a battle. Presently and continually. Who is the one overcoming the world? But the one believing. Again, present participle. Presently and continually, we are believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Folks, that's where all the power comes from. The living God in the person of the Holy Spirit of Christ, who is in the saints. If you are a saint, what we're talking about here in 1 John chapter 5 is you. Not perfectly and in every circumstance, as I said before, but overall, it must be true. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, these are the children of God. However, if anyone has not Spirit of Christ, that one is not of him. They don't belong to Christ. If you are not a saint, you are at the greatest disadvantage. You have no privilege. You have no right. No authority to deal with demons. Now, I realize, I don't laugh thinking that's something hilariously funny. It's a tragedy. Because of the fact that when I say what I just said, most people are saying, demons? You can't be serious. Do you really believe in demons? Yes, yes, I do. And I see their activity all the time manifested in people who are captivated by these demons. Therefore, you are powerless to resist their control over you. And you fall into the most fearful category. That category is described in 2 Timothy 2:26. And it includes everyone who rejects Jesus Christ. Now, as you laugh at that, probably, that 2 Timothy 2:26 speaks of those having been taken captive by Satan unto his will. And as long as you reject Christ, that's right where you're going to stay. Saints. Privileged saints. Saints called by God, for God, unto salvation, to be made holy. Praise the Lord, all you his saints, for your names are written in the heavens. Amen.